So we begin our series in Colossians this morning and today, and I'm really looking forward to just anchoring down in this letter that Paul wrote to the Colossians and just excited to see what the Holy Spirit teaches us through this letter. I'm really looking forward to how he grows and matures us in our faith, but also how he transforms us in how we live in our day-to-day, how we live not just as a church, a group of believers, but as individuals outside of the church. And so really my prayer for this series is that the more we go through this, the more we study it, the more we break things down, that we love Jesus more, right? My prayer is that when we look to what Paul is writing, that we can have this appreciation for Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, the things that he's done for us, for our behalf, on our behalf, right? That we just come to love him more and more. My prayer is that we find hope in the resurrection. Lynn, in your prayers, you said that this world, there's so much war, and everything is falling apart, and or that there are many wars. This part's my part, but you know, things are falling apart. There's death, there's suffering, and there's just the day-to-day that really get us down. And it's easy to lose hope, but I hope that, or my prayer is that we could find hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And lastly, my prayer is that we have faith to live transformed lives wherever we go, wherever we are, no matter what opposition faces us, that we will be able to live a life that is worthy of the Lord. And so I'm glad that Sarah also mentioned Colossians 1 verse 10, because for the sake of time, I'm just going to focus on verse 10. Is that all right? Because I didn't, yeah. We don't have much time. But I want to focus on verse 10, because I think, honestly, when we want to live lives that are worthy of the Lord, don't we, right? And and obviously the context of that is that Jesus is our Lord and he is worthy for us to live a life for him. But I don't know about y'all, but for me growing up in the church, I often thought, oh, what does living a life worthy of the Lord mean, right? Or walk in a life in a manner that is worthy of the Lord. And I think what I have done and what I used and how I used to think was, okay. Well, what do I have to do then? What does a worthy life of the Lord look like? I think oftentimes we compiled through bits of the scriptures and the Bible and through the church history and tradition that in order for me to live a life that's glorifying to God, I must do A, B, C, and D. And we set up this list and we compile this list of things that we must do that will then reflect that, oh, this is worthy of the Lord, right? It's the focus is on us. What can I do to bring worthy, what can I do that is worthy of the Lord? What can I bring? And I think oftentimes it's difficult because then we set up this list of, okay, these are the things that I must do that is worthy of the Lord. But then if I don't do that, I'm not worthy of the Lord. I'm a terrible person. Am I saved? Right? Like, we are so hard on ourselves, and it's quite difficult to live in that tension of yes, God is worthy, and what are the things and coming up with this list for me to live by to glorify God. But I think when we read here in verse 10, walking in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. I don't think that word worthy is talking about what we can do that brings glory and worth to God. I don't think it's talking about what list we come up with. And if we live by these rules and these laws and this type of lifestyle, then it's only worthy to the Lord. And Paul, I think, when he uses this word worthy and as he uses it in his other letters, he's not talking about this list that we put together, but the word in its context, I think, is more talking about walking in step with the Lord. walking in step or in accordance with the Lord. Paul is praying for this Colossian church, right? He's encouraged by their faith. He's encouraged by the way they're living. He's encouraged by all of these things. And so he's praying that, yes, keep going. Do what you're doing. Loving one another, caring for one another, doing your best in all that you do, living in accordance with the Lord. You might be hearing me now and go, oh, what's the difference? There's, you know, like I think I'm splitting hairs a little bit. But really, the focus of it is not what we do, right? It's not what we put our, or what hoops we set up so that we can then say the Lord is worthy. But Paul is just saying, no. If we walk, let us walk in a manner in accordance with the Lord. This is what's pleasing to him. Let me break it down like this, okay? When we look at the Bible, oftentimes many of the characters in the Bible are given a choice. They can live in accordance with the Lord, lean on his wisdom, his understanding, and we can pick and do this choice that will bring life, that will bring blessing to other people. Or we could choose to lean on our own wisdom, do what we want, and therefore bringing more death and destruction. Adam and Eve, they had the choice, right? To go, I can lean on my understanding. I look at the fruit. I see it. It's good for, it looks good. It's good for eating. It has all these benefits. So, oh, let me do that. Rather than leaning on God's wisdom going, no, don't eat of it. Don't take of it. We look at Abraham and Sarah, right? They were promised that they were promised an heir, a son. And they could have had the choice to lean on God's wisdom and his understanding, walk in accordance with him and have faith to wait and see what the Lord did. But then they chose to live by their own wisdom, taking Sarah's slave, objectifying her, mistreating her, excluding her, kicking her out. And time again, we see this all throughout the Bible that there's a choice that we have to either live by God's wisdom, live with through his understanding, live in accordance with the Lord, or live by our wisdom and our understanding. And the comparison here is that one choice will bring life and one choice will bring destruction. And so when Paul says live in a manner that is in accordance with the Lord, what pleases him is that we live as Christ lived. That we do as Christ did, as we love as Christ loved. We walk in accordance with the Lord. This is what truly pleases him. When we choose to see that the way that I think is selfish and only for myself and brings destruction, but if I live in accordance with the Lord, he'll bring life and blessing to those around me. Worthy is not what we can do, right? Worthy is not this list that we set up so that then God will be worthy if we live by that. No, it's saying, no, God is worthy. And we fall in line with what he has laid out for us. And if we do so, we will bring life. We will bring blessing. We will be able to expand the kingdom and fulfill the calling that we have all been called to as Christians. And when we talk about walk, just real briefly, when we talk about walk, that word walk is an image that directs us on how we live, right? But it's not just how we live, but it's how natural this type of living ought to be. You don't think how to walk, right? Once you learn how to walk, you just up and go, right? It becomes one. It becomes natural. And this way of living, leaning on the wisdom of God and living a life in accordance with the Lord, ought to become something that's natural to the Christian, to the one who says, I follow Jesus. Yes, he is worthy. I give my life to him. So I will lean on God's wisdom in how I live my life. It ought to become second nature. And what then happens in verse 10, the second half of 10, verse 10 says this. Verse 10, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, this is what's fully pleasing to him, right? Living as God intended us to live. And if we choose to live this way, in this manner, we will bear fruit in every good work. We will increase in knowledge of God. We will be strengthened by all power through every circumstance. We'll be able to endure it with joy. And so we give thanks to God, our Father. Because again, it says in verse 12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has qualified us. It's not what we do to bring glory and worth to God. He has qualified us to share in this mission, to share in this blessing, to share in this inheritance. He chooses us. So to end, to close, again, Paul is so thankful and grateful to this church and the people of this church, the saints, the believers, and what they're doing. This is it. When he hears this news, he can't help but pray and thank God for these people, because how they live in accordance with the Lord is why the mission, is why numbers were being added to the church day by day. Because the choices these Christians were making in loving one another, in leaning on God's wisdom to then lead them to love one another, to care and to support their communities. This is what Paul prays for. This is the challenge for us as Christians. Is as we live our lives, and especially as we go through the rest of this letter, let us continually think about how we live in accordance with the Lord. Let's read the Word. Let's get into it. Let's read it together. Let's study. Let's learn how we can walk in a manner in accordance with the Lord. And so I am looking forward to this series. I will wrap it up there. But hopefully throughout the rest of this series, up until we lead into the summer, a lot of these themes will start to make itself known. So let me go ahead, end us in prayer, and I'll give it back.